Can you lose your soul? Can you lose your soul? That's the title of my message today. Can you lose your soul? We're going to explore it a wee bit. Please stay with me. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to bring forth this message today. I pray, Lord, that the ears that hear it will be unstopped. I pray, Lord, that hearts should be open and receptive to what is said here today. And, Lord, of course, when all is said and done, may you be lifted up and glorified. For I pray in Jesus' wonderful name and for his sake. Amen, amen. Well, there was the question now. It's an important question. Can you lose your soul? Well, actually, I'd like to ask you several questions. Okay, are you ready? Now, you don't need a pen or a pencil here, but if you wish, by all means, take notes. It's an important message. Ooh. Several questions, all right. They all deal with our future, with your past. You see, your past has nothing to do with your future when you're talking about God. Because everything that you did in the past comes to an abrupt end when you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. How's that for starters? You see, what's finished is finished, and when something is finished, you can't undo it. Not in the eyes of God. No. What's finished is complete, and you cannot undo. Now, if you fall down and break your proverbial crown, you cannot undo that, can you? Well, it may be patched, it may be mended, but you cannot undo the fact that it was broken. These words may sound a bit cruel, however. What is finished is finished. Sorry. Well, maybe not. So it is most important of our body and usually our mind as well. We have to bear these things. Nobody said living would be easy, right? But what about your... We were talking about the flesh there, right? So what about your soul, though? Can you lose your soul? Can you break your soul? Can you assault your soul? Can you lose your soul? Can you? Well, if we look in our King James Bible to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, we read, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to kill both soul and body in hell." Wow. And if we move ahead to Matthew 16, verse 26, we read, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" If you look in Merriam-Webster's 10th edition dictionary, in defining the human soul, you will read that the soul is the principle, or pardon me, the soul is the spiritual principle embodied in human beings. In other words, the moral and emotional nature of human beings. You got that? The moral and emotional nature of human beings. So, as we live and breathe, we are body and soul. Body and soul. At death, both are conjoined in either heaven or, what's that place down below? Hell. Joy or peace. Or joy and peace, rather. Or eternal hell and damnation. The choice is actually ours, you know. You can't say, well, if it's going to be that way, it's going to be. There's nothing I can do about it. Wrong, 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 wrong. You see, that's why Jesus came and died on the cross at Calvary and shed his precious blood, so we can change that type of attitude. Now, some people walk around with their head in the air and say, well, if I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be saved. Case closed. No, it's not. God gave us free will. He didn't make us into robots. He gave us free will. We have to make the decision. He gave us the opportunity. He gave us the opening. He gave us his son. We've all heard the saying, I love you with all my heart and soul. Oh. Although they are spoken of as two entities, they remain inseparable. Heart and soul. Inseparable. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46, the Word of God says, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that is that which is spiritual. Now, that might sound a little jumbled, so I'll read it once again. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Okay? Dwell on that for a while, if you wish. Isn't it wonderful to know that we who are naturally sinful can cast all our sins away? Away, go away, thanks be to what took place at Calvary on the cross. Before Calvary, mankind was totally compassed about with so much sin and wasted living, well, it became impossible for mankind to immerse ourselves in what God had intended for his people. So, right away, you say, well, why didn't God create us so that we'd not allow ourselves to fall victim to that which is sinful and causes God to grieve? Why? Why didn't he destroy that element of our existence, take it away from us? So there we get back to the robotical thing again, eh? God gave us free will. He wants us to come to him because we love him, because we believe and trust in him. Look how much he believed and trusted us, that he gave his only begotten son to die for us. God is not an ogre. God is not something out of a comic book. God is God. He's the supreme element and supreme being of the whole universe. Oh, he could have, but he could have made us as robots, mindless, walking piles of junk. I ask you, can God have a personal relationship with that which is programmed to do exactly and only God's perfect will? Can he? Would we not be like toys in his hands? Would we not worship and obey out of fear? Huh? food for thought there, right? Let's say you were my spouse, and this has nothing to do with your regular daily routine. You were my spouse, but God designed you to do only His perfect will. Nothing sinful. The perfect man, the perfect woman. Got it? He could have, but would that not make us as mindless beings, roaming about, always eager to do whatever He said? Wouldn't it? Let's go back to Genesis, I love the book of Genesis. It lays out the complete format of why we're here, how we're here, and so forth. Genesis, chapter 1. We'll start in verse 4 and read a few verses from the Word of God. Please stay with me. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now skip down to verse 10. Verse 10. The Word of God says, And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And then over to verse 12, which tells about the grass and the herbs and the fruit. And God saw that it was good. Verse 18, God divided the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Are you still with me? Hang in there. Verse 21. God created whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Good. The beasts of the earth, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. And God saw that it was good. What is the one thing that we are learning here? What is the one thing that we are learning here? I know you know the answer. That it was, right, good. Good. Good, the opposite of bad, right? Good. Which tells us in the modern day vernacular what? That God don't make no junk. Okay? No, He doesn't. This is confirmed in verse 31. Look at verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. It's us. Us, you and me, and others that turn good things that God made into junk. It's man who turns God's beautiful creation into ugliness. You see, I believe that God can and does whatever pleases Him. He's above all. We cannot define the mind of God. He does whatever pleases Him. He can turn a sunrise into a sunset. Yeah, He can. Or a starry night into a black nothing. God can turn an ocean of foam into a sheet of glass. Picture it. And God can turn a child of the devil into a saint. That's where we come in. God can turn a child of the devil, which is what we all are until we repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He can turn a child of the devil into a saint. If you let him, you have to let him. You have to come to him. You have to believe in him and his word. God has no limits. He's limitless. He's up above. He's down below. Distance and space are at his command. He calms the sea and stills the soul. But there are some things, are you ready for this? There are some things that God cannot do. Uh-oh. Have we come to a crossroads? You mean there are things God cannot do? Yep. For example, God cannot lie. God cannot cheat. God cannot steal. Nor can he, and this is the big one, nor can God deny himself. He can't. God is anywhere and everywhere. He can see farther. He can talk faster and solve any problem anytime. He can build a universe or a sandcastle. But what he really specializes in, here it comes. God's specialty is the salvation of the human soul. That's where we come in. We are the human souls. Sound good? Oh, yeah. Does God love you? Well, I'd say so. He gave his only begotten Son so that we might have life. So much. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, to be a propitiation for our souls. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting. How long is everlasting? It's everlasting. It's forever. God would love to enlarge heaven. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish. But he's not going to enlarge it if there's nobody else coming, or if most of the people are going down below. He's not willing that any should perish. You, me, him, her, them, they. But that all should come to repentance. You got that? Come to repentance. In other words, change your lifestyle. Turn around. You're going that way. Turn and come his way. How wonderful is that? How wonderful. Now, I want you to think on this for a moment. Can there be any doubt whatsoever, that if there's a heaven, there is also a hell? Or do you believe that everything ends at the cemetery? Is that what you believe? A lot of people do. Are you wanting to do it your way, concerning God's heaven or hell? Are you? God's word concerning heaven and hell is very clear. It's very clear. And if we don't take the opportunity while we are of a clear mind, then we lose it. Now, I'm not saying that people who are born with a problem in their minds and they can't understand things. No, no, they're covered by the blood, just like little children. God is not so cruel that he would destroy those who cannot understand who he is and what Jesus did at Calvary. No. You see, God looks upon the heart. He looks upon the heart. In John chapter 14, which is wonderful chapter in the book, here the Lord clearly defines what heaven is under the heading, the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. God's great assurance is finally, F-I-N-E-L-Y, outlined in verses 1 to 6. I would like to read them to you. John 14, 1 to 6, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus talking now. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And then here comes Doubting Thomas now. Listen here. Here we go. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And here's the great, great ending, the answer to it all. Are you ready? Okay. Verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, unto Thomas now, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, or cometh rather unto the Father, but by me. Let me say it once more. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Wow. So there you have it. What do you think? Huh? What do you think? Can you lose your soul? Well, yes you can. You lose it to an inferior force or source. As we draw to a close of my message, well, I'm one of the believers. Are you? Do you know that when Christ comes in the rapture of the church, that and the angel says, the archangel says, come up hither, that you'll be in that number? Are you confident about that, or you think that's a fairy tale? Well, when you get to hell and you feel the fire, the flames licking at your flesh, you'll know it's not a fairy tale. You'll know. I urge you most full-heartedly that you would believe what has been said here today, that you would hold it in your heart, and that you'll talk to God. And if there's any questions you need answered, you will speak to him and you will study his book, his holy book, the King James Authorized 1611 Bible, out of Antioch, the true Word of God. You know what? Christ, the greatest invitation the world could ever receive. If these few words were the only verse in the entire Bible, as John 14, 6, if they were the only verse in the entire Bible, they would be sufficient to show you the way to his holy presence. Wow. I don't know about you, but I find that not only fascinating, but a great blessing. God's not willing that any should perish. There's a lot of people stumbling about through this life who are not really sure of almost anything. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, that's okay if you're talking about a car you're going to buy. But it's not okay with God. See, God wants you to take that leap of faith. I'm not talking about a physical leap. I'm talking about a spiritual leap. Where you were once not sure, which is a non-believer, to the point where, yes, I do believe. Yes, I do repent. Yes, I believe that Jesus died for me. And if I'd been the only one who needed him to go to the cross, he would have done it for me. That's the attitude God wants to hear. There's no other way. There's no other way at all but God's way. God's way. The price has been paid. The way is clear. Just simply believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may I say, pray. Pray without ceasing every day. Don't stop. I'm not saying you walk around praying, you know, and you're driving, you're praying, and you're doing this, and you're praying, you're making supper, and you're praying. That's not what it means. Pray without ceasing means always be in an attitude of prayer. Would you do that? Always. Yes, God is real. Yes, Jesus did die on the cross for me. He did. I want to thank you for listening. And I pray you'll tune in again for another Battle Site for Christ broadcast over the Just Jesus Radio Network. Fine people and a fine lineup of music they have here as well. Won't you stay tuned for what's coming up next? I pray you will. There are blessings galore. Thank you. God bless. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen.